Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's 5 minutes past 8 in Bangui. Good morning and welcome to Africa Link. I'm Crispin Mwakideo in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, efforts to reconcile warring sides in Central African Republic begin. This analyst says actions speak louder than words.
Lots of good intentions will come out of the forum. Talk of peace and stability is always a good thing. The problem is it's never really backed up by concrete actions.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry assures Kenya of his country's support in the fight against Somalia's al-Shabaab.
Last month's brazen murder of at least 147 students and teachers in Garissa was a heartbreaking reminder of terrorism's cost.
Plus, breaking with taboo in northern Ghana, we find out how a simple game is transcending cultural barriers and bringing children and their fathers closer. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Barring the hatchet. At least that's what delegates attending a week-long peace forum in the Central African Republic hope to achieve. The meeting in the capital, Bangui, brings together at least 700 representatives from political groups, militias and civil society organizations. It is aimed at ending the country's two-year-long political crisis that has claimed thousands of lives and displaced more than a million. This report by Hilke Fischer has been adapted for Africa Link by Isaac Mugabe.
After months of violence, which left thousands dead, Central African Republic's political and civil society leaders have decided to meet and try to iron out their differences that are mainly religious and ethnic in nature. The country's civil war broke out in March 2013 when Muslim Seleka rebels ousted the government of President Francois Bozizé. In response, Christian animist vigilantes formed the Anti-Balaka group. Each group attacked members of the opposite religion and killed thousands of civilians. Now both sides blame each other for committing war crimes. Hadija Aissatou, the wife of the imam of Bangui's Atik Mosque, told DW that as Muslims, the summit was important for them as they will use it as an opportunity to demand for their rights.
We want to demand our rights. We are Central Africans, just like anybody else. As Muslims, we have been mistreated and rejected in all possible ways.
But the Seleka rebel group, on the other hand, said that it was boycotting the forum in a statement that was circulating on the internet. The group complained about irregularities in the organization of the summit and about the arrest of a high-ranking Seleka leader. David Smith from the South American Okapi Consulting Group that advises international organizations working in the Central African Republic told DW that the Reconciliation Forum will change little in the country.
Lots of good intentions will come out of this forum, and there'll be the right words will be said by the international community to say they're on the right track. And talk of peace and stability is always a good thing. The problem is it's never really backed up by concrete actions.
According to Smith, the country also needs a concrete plan on how to rebuild the army, the police, the health and education sector. In other words, institutions that every functioning state should have.
Right now we have a government of transition, and a transitional government by very nature is weak and can't do anything to put together long-term policies because it's not in power for a long time.
The Reconciliation Forum comes at a time when the country is experiencing relative peace in the capital Bangui because of the presence of international troops. About 8,500 UN peacekeepers are currently stationed in the Central African Republic, supported by the French Sangare mission. The French troops, however, in recent days were in the headlines for all the wrong reasons after being accused of sexually abusing young boys during their mandate.
Isaac Mugabe presented that report by Hilke Fischer. Apart from discussing bringing justice, peace, security, as well as good governance to CAR, a controversial draft constitution is also on the agenda. Amnesty International has raised concerns, saying the proposed constitution will give immunity to former and serving presidents. For more clarity on the concerns, Assumpta Latus has been talking to Steve Cockburn, Amnesty International's Deputy Director for West and Central Africa.
The current draft of a new constitution that's being discussed at the Bangui Forum this week includes a number of clauses that could allow human rights violators to escape justice. Now, for example, there are immunities for sitting presidents so that they cannot be prosecuted for any crime except for high treason. And that would also apply to former presidents via their honorary membership of the Constitutional Court. At the same time, there's a clause that allows future laws to be introduced to allow immunity from prosecution in the future that could be used to allow some people to escape justice. Now, one of the reasons we've been highlighting this is because the conflict in Central African Republic has been fueled by the fact that leaders of armed groups or individuals have been allowed free rein to commit war crimes and crimes against humanity in the country over many, many years, and they've managed to escape justice.
Why is it important for you to write this letter that you have written, that the clause has to be amended, and why now?
It's important to us because we've known from our research for many years in Central African Republic, issues of impunity, when crimes are committed and no one's brought to justice, has been one of the huge underpinning reasons behind the conflict. You know, we've ourselves recorded massacres committed by people who committed massacres years before but never faced justice. And we've also heard from victims themselves that they want justice. They want the people who may have killed their family member or who may have raped a member of their family to be brought to justice. And so it allows to build a stable peace and to build a real reconciliation. It's important now because the elections are due to be scheduled in mid-July, and there should be a referendum put forward on the new constitution before then. So this Bangui Forum is a key time when delegates will talk about the constitution and will be able to raise issues around impunity and justice. And it should. What we hope is that there will be a strong voice from this forum to change the constitution and to continue to strengthen the fight for justice in Central African Republic.
And do you think that you're going to achieve what you are actually asking?
I mean, I guess we'll see. I mean, one thing that encourages us is that we don't believe that this draft constitution was written with the intention of taking backward steps. We've seen recently that the Central African authorities have started to pursue and arrest a number of individuals who are suspected of very serious human rights violations. We've seen them agree to and establish a special criminal court that would be set up specifically to deal with these most serious crimes. And so for us, what we're asking for shouldn't be a major departure from this policy, but it should be making coherent the steps they've already started to take. So we're hopeful that the transitional authorities will recognize that, will make it coherent, and recognize that it will be a very important legacy that they could leave to the country.
Amnesty International's West and Central Africa Deputy Director Steve Cockburn.
News, analysis, and feature reports. All that's here on Africa Link.
Kenya will be safer if Somalia is more stable. Those are remarks made by U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry while on a visit to Kenya. The U.S. top envoy held talks with Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta on a wide range of issues, including counterterrorism and investment. Apart from promising his country's relentless support in the fight against Al-Shabaab, Kerry pledged $45 million to help Kenya deal with the 600,000 refugees in Dadaab camp. The U.S. diplomat said April's terrorist attack in Garissa University was a reminder of the difficult challenge of fighting terror.
Events in Kenya and the broader region present us with a broad array of tests. The threat posed by violent extremism is regrettably foremost among them. Last month's brazen murder of at least 147 students and teachers in Garissa was a heartbreaking reminder of terrorism's cost.
For more on Kerry's visit to Kenya, Assumpta Latus has been speaking to our correspondent in Nairobi, Ruben Kiama.
The U.S. has been a key partner to Kenya's security agenda. And if you remember very well, it was last year when a huge delegation from Kenya attended the U.S.-Africa summit in the U.S. And actually many of the Kenyan officials were quite upbeat about what they would want to get from the Americans, noting that America has also been a victim of terror attacks. So there are several initiatives that are in place already. We know that quite a number of activities have taken place. The U.S. has pledged a lot of support many times to fighting terrorism. And also, at the same time, there has been ongoing discussions on how Kenya can benefit in terms of technology, you know, in this current war.
What did he have to say then about more Americans investing in Kenya?
Yes, indeed, the U.S. Secretary of State, John Kerry, has reiterated the long relationship that U.S. has had with Kenya that goes back to more than 50 years. And he has said they look forward to strengthening economic and cultural ties with Kenyans. And at the same time, he reinforced the fact that, the U.S. president will be visiting this country in July. So this is an indication that Kenya is likely to receive more support, both in terms of trade as well as security affairs.
Well, as you mentioned, Kerry's visit comes only a few months after Obama promised that he would go to Kenya this year. Does this show that the relations between the two countries are getting better now?
Certainly, this is an indication that that the high-level visit to Kenya, which comes, I mean, this is the first visit since 2012, that is after the new government took over, and it comes after a year of tension surrounding President Kenyatta's being charged at the International Criminal Court. So this is this visit comes at a time just after we have seen the case against the president being abandoned. So certainly we are likely to see a lot more cooperation, and we can say that Kenya is probably benefiting, and maybe now things will turn to the better.
Ruben Kiama speaking from Nairobi. You're listening to Africa Link live from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany.
Africa on the move.
Picture this: a beautifully decorated garden with flowers and ribbons neatly tucked on chairs. A red carpet in the middle, guests seated, a groom and a bride cutting the wedding cake. It's the perfect wedding. And the wedding couple only had to show up for the wedding. That's right. The event management industry is growing rapidly in Africa. One Ghanaian event management company started from being a florist business, but now caters for various events. Isaac Kalechi with this Africa on the Move story.
I am at the office of the CEO of one of Ghana's fastest-growing floral and event organizing company, Unique Floral. The company coordinates major event decorations for its clients, especially wedding ceremonies. Interestingly, this business started as a hobby for the CEO, Dr. Ikria Ifrie Ayisa.
Unique Floral started as if, like some joke. It was a hobby that has been turned into a business. I was an air hostess with Ghana Airways, and anytime I travel abroad, I try to pick flowers and stuff from shops. I made a lot of friends, so I had a lot of flowers in my house. And people come in admiring it, and at the end of the day, you end up giving it all out. Initially, we started at a florist company. Basically, we sell flowers, and we are into event designs.
With a startup capital of less than 1,000 euros, Unique Floral now has over a dozen workers and hundreds of clients. For many Ghanaians, planning their events is a major task. Handing it over to a third party to organize could also be challenging for them due to issues of trust. But Ifrie Ayisa says the perception is changing significantly.
If you look at it from the time I started, somewhere in 1991, I would say we've come a long way, because so many people have lived abroad and they've acquired the taste of so many things. So then they come up and they want it. It's one thing telling your friend or your sister or brother, oh, help me organize this, and the person doesn't know a hoot about it. And so it gets messed up. People are beginning to be so sophisticated. So then they appreciate it.
Ifrie Ayisa says her clients don't need to have huge money to be served. Her services can fit any budget aspiring couples and families put across.
A lot of the time, people look at what they see like, wow, this is gorgeous. It must cost an arm and leg. But come try it and see if we can. You can afford us or you can't afford us. I must say that we have different rates. The person may come with some very little money, the person will come with some money. So if you want something very simple, affordable, we're there.
Here are some staff of Unique Floral speaking about the experience working on this project.
Mostly, you know, we are an events and floral company, so mostly they come for events and flowers. So we talk to them what they want, what they need, and we make sure to meet them. So everybody is always excited about what we do for them.
I like working with her. She likes working with me, and very kind, very cool. She always works hand in hand with us.
Dr. Ayisa's business has been able to overcome challenges relating to access to capital, among others. She now runs a school to teach up-and-coming floral designers and hopes to expand beyond West Africa.
I'm hoping that in the next 5-10 years, we'll be far ahead and going to a lot of the African countries, setting up shop and doing event designs, and have a bigger school where we'll train a lot more people.
Isaac Kalechi in Accra. Let's cross over to Nigeria, where security sources say they have killed 28 militants in central Nigeria. Nigeria's military is being accused of indiscriminately targeting civilians after 6 soldiers were brutally murdered in Plateau State. The military has denied the claims. Ethnic violence in Nigeria's central region has claimed thousands of lives. Abdullahi Maidawa Kurgui reports.
The Nigerian army has vehemently denied accusations in local media that it went on a killing spree indiscriminately, firing at defenseless civilians in retaliation for the 6 soldiers' death. Ikedichi Iweha, the Wase incident was an operation meant to rid the area of gunmen who have been terrorizing villagers in recent times.
It's not true that any community was attacked by the special task forces. We are only engaging illegal groups in the region of Taraba and Plateau states, and this is in line with the mandate that we have to maintain security. We are hopeful that at the end of the operation, we shall see less fighting in that area.
According to Captain Iweha, the army will continue their search until they recover the weapons of 6 missing soldiers who are believed to have been killed by gunmen late last month. The ongoing operation is to know the fate of the missing soldiers, which is being carried out between the boundaries of Taraba and Plateau states. But the Plateau state government spokesman, Pam Ayuba, has been quoted in the media saying locals on his side of the border were angry their community was targeted in the operation, as the purported militants were clearly based in Taraba. A security expert, Bello Lukman, told DW how best the security situation in the border between the two states can be properly addressed and maintained.
I think the best solution, let's digitize our security. Digitize in the sense that let's have, for example, CCTV cameras around every corner in this country. If we have that, we are going to be able to place a picture on everybody that perpetrates crime. We don't go about killing innocent people in the name of fighting terrorists. We don't go about just thinking anybody in an area is a suspect.
Plateau State falls in Nigeria's so-called Middle Belt, where the mainly Christian South meets the majority Muslim North. Christians-dominated farming communities have on several occasions clashed with the largely Muslim headsmen of the Fulani ethnic groups since the turnout of the century, leaving thousands dead. There was no immediate indications as to the identity of the suspected militants, and it was not clear if they had any connection to Boko Haram. Most violence in rural areas has been blamed on long-standing sectarian grievances, foiled partly by battles over the land rights.
Abdullahi Maidawa Kurgui reporting.
Making a difference.
In many African rural communities, it is almost taboo for a father to be out playing with his child. The belief is that once a child gets too close to his father, he or she would become disrespectful. And that leads to many children fearing and avoiding their fathers. This kind of family dysfunction inspired one organization called Tuma Kavi Development in northern Ghana. It has designed and introduced local games to break the ice and bring parents closer to their children. Maxwell Souk reports on how the concept is making a difference in Tamale, northern Ghana.
If you play with a puppy, it will lick your face. This is an old adage in Ghana, which means if you play with your children, they will most likely disrespect you. That saying is taken seriously in some rural settlements in Ghana. That in turn has adversely affected the way parents, particularly fathers, relate to their children.
I can't play with my parents. If I play with them, they will cane me.
I can't play my father because several times if he said I shouldn't do something and I do it, you cane me. Because of that, I fear to play with my father.
They are not my friends. They are my parents. That's why I can't play with them.
Those are three children in Northern Ghana telling me why they find it hard to play with their parents. And this is where Tumakavi Development, a local organization in Tamale, comes in. The organization, through the support of Erico, a child-focused network based in Spain, has designed locally made games for parents in selected communities in Northern Ghana. Reverend Sanatu Nantogma is the founder of Tumakavi Development. She told me how the concept is changing attitudes of parents.
Some fathers can come out boasting that I don't play with my children. That because when you play with your children, then when it's time to discipline the child, you can't discipline the child. But this learning to play makes that a myth that is to be broken.
Sanatu says when parents play with their children, it does not only make children happy, but also leads to a strong family connection.
If you play with your child, you only make the child develop more confidence and relate with you better. So it's important to break the cultural barriers that builds the stagnation in the participation of parents in the child's education.
Alia Chumberima has just returned from a field trip. She is the officer in charge of the project and one of the 15 others that work with Tumakavi organization. She explains how the games are made.
They use cardboards to make card games. They use sticks to make games. We have a game we call the length game. So they have the piece of stick they cut into various lengths. And the child can either add or subtract to make it either longer or shorter. And for that, it helps to build their mathematical skills.
Idrisi and his family are playing the land game in Dinga. It is one of the communities where the project has been implemented. Idrisi tells me ever since he started playing the game with his children, he has noted a change in behavior.
The children like coming closer to me now than before. They won't panic again if I call them. When I just call any child, he come fast, because they think we are going to play the game.
His wife, Zuera, also told me she is a happy woman now than before.
My home is just fine. There's good interaction now. The children love to sit with me every time when there is no work, and the same goes for my husband. Earlier, I used to sit in this compound alone till I fall asleep each night.
And the games are gradually making a difference in parent-child relationship in Dinga, as Yakubu Al-Hassan, a 10-year-old boy, explains.
I now play my father and everybody. And all the men in the community. But first, I not used to play them. If I play, they will shout to me.
Despite such progress, some parents still consider such relations with their children a sign of disrespect. But Reverend Sanatu and her team are determined to keep encouraging parents to play with their children. This, they say, helps cement the family bond.
Maxwell Sook in Northern Ghana. And now a summary of our main stories. A peace and reconciliation forum is underway in CAR amid calls by Amnesty International to amend a draft constitution. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry has vowed to support Kenya in the battle against Somalia's Al-Shabaab. And Nigeria's military has denied allegations of targeting civilians in Plateau State. Well, we've come to the end of the show. Send us your thoughts on the program and stories we have covered either via a text message to country code 49160 957-59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link DW 53110 Bonn, Germany. For more news on the continent, visit dw.de/Africa. I'm Crispin Mwakideu. Take care.